Haga namaste. Buenos dias. It's great to have you here this morning. I'm watching the clock today. If you see me watching the clock, it's for a good reason. At the first service, they gave me 5 minutes to preach, and they liked it. Cut it down. Gwen, when she did the announcement about the Sunday school teacher, she said, "You know, I have to say a lot in a short amount of time, but really, you know, I shouldn't do that. There's somebody coming at the end of the service that's going to do that." And I thought the congregation was going to give her a standing ovation for that. But I had just a few minutes to preach this morning, so hopefully it'll make a little more sense the second service, those of you here twice. We come here today in this time, in this season, as we approach the birthday of the church, Pentecost, to talk about what it means to be the church of Jesus Christ and those who are Methodists in this place. For the past few weeks, I've encouraged you to look at issues of learning. That we as a church know what we know out of faith, but we continue to learn about who God is, about our world around us, about ourselves, and to learn how we can make an impact on the world when we follow that love and grace of Christ. I also encouraged you last Sunday to use your eyes and your ears to see and to hear, to discern what God wants you to do and to be able to see those who are in need in our world. And I lifted up a member of our congregation who saw homeless people all around the city, and how he spoke to them and prayed for them and knew their names. But also I lifted up in honor, Manuel Pickett, a National Guard soldier who lost his life in Iraq. But as his time as a policeman, how he pastored the public drunks, how as a captain on the police force, he would change light bulbs for senior citizens because he saw their need, and he ministered to that even as a policeman. We talked about the scripture teaching us that when we use our eyes and ears to see, there is a healing that comes from God, and we discern that. And we heard from the prophet Isaiah, it's when we see and when we hear those who are in need and minister to them, that our light will shine, that we will be a blessing to ourselves, a blessing to others, our neighbors around us, and a blessing to the nations. And I believe that. With everything I am, I believe that. When we share that love and that grace with Christ, learn, see, and do, we are a blessing to the nations. Scripture tells it, and I think that is powerful. Yet we know it's not always easy to do those things. I think for us to be those people of love and grace, to see and to learn and to listen, to use our hearts, to give out our hearts to love those who are in need, takes a certain sense of clarity and vision about what it means to be the church. And often, even though we talk about it forever and ever, here's a church, here's a steeple, open the door and see all the critters. No. The people. We talk about church being people, but so often we talk about place and people. The church is kind of my place on Spring and Scuth and Schaumburg. That's my church. And it is that. Nothing wrong with that. But that's just part. You know, we come here at this place. We come here to hear Scripture read. We come here to try to understand what God wants us to do. We come here to share our gifts and our tithes to do God's work in this place and from this place. We come here to have fellowship together, to strengthen each other together, to care for each other, pray for each other. And that is all good. Yet in some ways, that's only part. In the past, sometimes we've talked about the kind of work we do at the church. We do soul work for our individual hearts, and we do housework for the church, and then we do kingdom work outside of here. But when we do those things, pray and read Scripture and come here, what we're doing is housekeeping. Did you know that? We're keeping house. We're keeping community. We're being part of that. And it's a strong and a wonderful thing to do. Because, you know, if we didn't do that, where would we be? If we didn't come to worship and hear and sing, where would we be? Think about your own home. If nobody did the dishes in your home, what would it be like? If nobody did the laundry, if nobody cooked, if nobody mowed the grass, if nobody took the kids to the places they needed to go to, if we didn't do that housekeeping stuff, where would we be? We'd be in chaos and we'd fall apart, wouldn't we? So it's wonderful that we can do this kind of housework, and yet, why do we do it? Do we do housework just because we're supposed to do housework? Or do we wash dishes just because they happen to be there? Or do we do laundry because, you know, there's some eternal law that says we ought to do laundry as this? No. We cook our meals, we do our laundry, we do the tasks for the house so that we can go to work, be strengthened to go to school, You know, have enough nutrition to do the things we need to do. The housework sets it up and strengthens us and protects us in ways in which we can live in the world. The same is the true of this house of God. We do housework here, but the issue isn't here. The issue is the love from our heart and into our community and into our world. In the gospel lessons, it is easy. It is interesting to note, who does Jesus get really ticked off at? You know, heavy-duty sinners come to him. And he may speak words strong saying, don't sin again. But he doesn't get really ticked off at them. He gets ticked off at the people who are the pastors, the religious leaders of his day, who are in control of the housekeeping of his time. They have given up their faith in terms of God working in the world to be a light to the nations, as God called that nation back then. They've given up that and they went to housekeeping. And that's all they're doing. Today in the reading from the gospel, we hear about the Sabbath. A wonderful housekeeping rule. You know, you should have a Sabbath and keep it holy. You ought to take a day and rest. That's a wonderful thing. And we don't do enough of that. So, you know, that's a wonderful housekeeping rule. But the Pharisees of Jesus' day, the religious leaders of his day, they had built so many rules and laws into it, it was just about keeping the rules. It wasn't why do we keep the rules. And so when Jesus' disciples are going out in the fields and they're hungry, and all they do is they take grain and they eat it. And the rule said you can't pick grain on a Sunday, you know, on your Sabbath. That's work. And if you're a farmer, and if you have, it is. But what they were doing was just eating and feeding themselves. That's not work. But it was their housekeeping they attended to. And more ridiculously, and worse yet, they bring somebody who needs to be healed to Jesus. Because they're trying to trick him. Because they had ruled, their rules, their housekeeping rules said, it's work to heal somebody on the Sabbath, therefore you can't heal them. How stupid is that? And when he healed them, they got upset at that. So much, think about it. They plotted to kill him. What kind of housekeeping is that? They had given over the worship of their community and had quit worshiping their Creator who called them to love and to be a light to the world around them. They gave up doing the right thing just to do what was they wanted to do for their community. And we are called to step out in love and grace to others. In the Old Testament reading today, Amos tells us that we are to seek good and not evil, and we are to what does it say? We are to hate evil and love good. And when we think about what those terms are, not just seek and to seek good and not evil, to hate evil and love good, those are not emotional terms in Hebrew. The Hebrew term for seek and to hate has to do with when you hate evil, it means staying away from it, making a decision to reject it. The term love good, means you make a decision to accept that which is good. It's not a feeling, it is an action. And it calls us to be those who seek and make the decisions to do good and to reject that which is evil in the world. And when the church does that, when we do that, it is a wonderful and an awesome thing. This week I was trying to get a video to show you and we could not get it done. Hopefully next week we will. But it comes from our general conference. Every 4 years, the United Methodist Church comes from all around the world and has a meeting and discuss issues of ministry and mission together, who they are and what they are about, policies that we have. This year they met in Texas. And the internet is a wonderful thing. I logged on and saw some things that were happening there, and usually I'm not a conference person, as some of you would attest to. I don't care for that stuff too much. But as I logged on, there was this wonderful video of a bishop from South Georgia. His name was Bishop Mike Watts. And he was doing a presentation on the stage to Methodists from around the world. And he was flanked by young African children from Uganda. And Bishop Watts told the story about what their conference decided to do a few years ago. As a conference, they decided they wanted to be a light to the world in terms of some of the issues going on overseas and especially in Africa. And so they sent a delegation to Uganda in Africa, a place that's been torn by violence, by hunger, and by AIDS. And they put together funding, and they started the Humble United Methodist School in Makana, Uganda. And every day, 200 to 250 orphans who would not have enough to eat, who would not get schooling, come to that school. And he calls them a living embodiment of the hope for the future. And I wish I was smart enough to be able to find that link and put it on the screen for you. I couldn't do that. Hopefully next week we can see it. But to see these children sing, and to hear them, and to see them go to the team go to Uganda, and to hear a child get up and say, "I was in an orphanage and nobody loved me there." And to hear him break down in tears and say, My grandmother found me and she brought me to this school. And because of you, I can be part of this. It makes you want to cry. And it made me want to leave right away and go to Uganda and hug them and work with them and feed them. It made me want to be part of that. We who are here this day, is anybody here going to go to Uganda? Probably not. But we don't have to be part of the same kind of thing that God calls us. We do not have to do that. We each are called to do things in different kinds of ways. And we as a church here, we're asking you this coming Sunday to extend your love and grace to a new initiative we are a part of here, to be on the solution side of issues, not just to respond to those who are hungry, respond to those who are in need, but to be on the solution side so that we might take action on one side and not just respond to the needs around us. We're asking you to think of what it means to be people of justice and grace and to be part of our Micah Ministries team and to write letters to our senators and say, "We would like a common sense policy that responds to hungry people in the world and in our nation. We would like a common sense, and we encourage you to do that." Our Micah Ministry team, when they started putting together, they went through three steps about how we as our redeemers are supposed to do these things. First of all, they discerned God's call. What does it mean for us to be a justice church? And they said, "Hunger is our issue. We've done it for years. 20, 30 years we've been part of ministering to those who are hungry. That's what we need to do." They investigated ways to do that. And you know many of those. We feed hungry people here in our community. We contribute to the Society of St. Andrew that feeds hungry people in the United States. We have food pantry here in the church and at the Schomburg Pantry. We have a soup kitchen we go to in Chicago. We're part of the Heifer Project, the 30-hour famine, the Super Bowl of Caring. Richard Vail's work in the Philippines. And also, did you know out back we've got a garden? And that garden is so that some of those who are in need in our community can have fresh produce in the summer to feed hungry people. We're asking now to look a step further and say, it's not just about feeding people once they get hungry, but how do we make that step to make sure they may have the resources to not get in the situations they are in? So we're asking you to think about being on the solution side, to be people of justice and grace, to think about what does it mean for us to minister to those who truly are in need and use our resources, our position, our access to the powers of this world to make a difference for people who don't have that access. So I want to ask you to do three things before next Sunday. One is I'm asking you to pray. We ask you every day to pray for peace in Iraq and Afghanistan and in the world. I want you to pray for the hungry, whoever they are. It doesn't matter. On your prayer list, pray for the hungry. So I want you to pray this week every day. Secondly, I want you to investigate. On the screen, you'll see the offering of letters for next week. But also, those of you that are on the internet, if you know what that is. Some of you aren't, but many of you are. Go to that website, Bread for the World. Our Micah Ministry teams has told you about it, but don't trust them. They're a seedy bunch, right? Did you hear Shirley and Bruce? They're a strange group. Don't trust them. Go to the website. Investigate it yourself to continue to learn. I'm asking you to do that. So if you have access to the website, to the web, go look and see what Bread for the World says. Finally, I want you to come next Sunday. And what's next Sunday, guys? Guys, Mother's Day. That's just a helpful hint for those of you out there. Mother's Day. Come back Mother's Day. And I want to I want to preach on the hands that feed us. When you were a child, who fed you? It was your mother, right? In the world around us, in the world, often it is the mothers and the women that plant the gardens, that harvest the crops, that cook the meals. And if we can give resources and a chance for those mothers to feed their children more, imagine, your light will shine, God tells you. So first of all, I want you to
pray.
That was pretty wimpy. First of all, I want you to
pray
for those that are hungry. Secondly, I want you to
investigate.
Bread for the world, for those of you that have it. Look on there. Don't trust that Micah Ministry team. They're a little nuts, like I said. Find out for yourself. And finally, come next Sunday. Let's celebrate our mothers with a powerful gift of love and grace into the world. Let's bow for prayer. Loving God, we thank you for the many gifts that you give us. We thank you for the gift of church and community that we might do housework here and be loved out of that housework. But Lord, we also thank you for 3 squares a day, that we have enough food, for 3 squares and 4 walls, that we have our basic needs met. And we thank you that we might be people who have some sense of power and authority to affect and influence. So Lord, for those who do not have that power, help us be their voice. Help us be their hands, that they truly might grow in ways of love and grace like our children can and do, and like we can in our lives. All this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.